Good morning. Good to see you all here, especially those who first time. We welcome you. Hope that you feel welcome, and we also hope that the Lord can speak to you this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we're gathered here in your name this morning. Yes. We're seeking you. We're wanting you. Yes. And Lord, we want you to speak to each one of us this morning through your word. Lord, you're a speaking God. You have not left us alone. You've opened the door for us. We're here this morning presenting ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, we have been going through the book of Genesis. We are looking at great cloud of witnesses in this first book of Genesis. And we have gotten to the person of Abraham. And so Abraham's a very important person. He's a VIP in the Bible. And therefore, we have to spend a number of weeks on this person, Abraham. Last week, Nigel shared with us from Genesis chapter 15. In Genesis chapter 15, very briefly, what we see there is at the beginning of this chapter, Abraham just completed a very great accomplishment. He defeated a bunch of kings who had taken his nephew Lot captive. And he comes away from that, and everything's good except for one thing. He does not have an heir. He does not have a son. And so Abraham, shall we use the word, complains to God. He's questioning God. God, you say I'm going to have descendants, but all I see is this guy, Eliezer, who's going to inherit everything. I have no children. I have no son. So God says, takes him out at night. He says, look, the sky. Look up. See the stars. Your descendants will be like that. So many. You can't number them. Am I loose? No, I'm not loose. And amazingly, Abraham believes God. He's going to have descendants. And God, the Bible records, counted it to Abraham as righteousness. So here, I would say, chapter 15 leaves us at a high point with Abraham. He believed God would do something for him. Even though he is 75 years old, his wife is, what, 65 years old, and there's no child in sight. So that brings us to chapter 16, where we come today. Chapter 16 and the following chapters are very interesting, and I hope this morning maybe the Lord could show us some more light on this. This is the story of Sarah, or Abraham, Sarah, and a third party, Hagar. So, this is now 10 years later. We're now, Abraham's 85, and Sarah's 75. And Sarah looks at herself and realizes things don't look good. Even to the point where she says, she may have said, Bible doesn't say this, but she may have said, I must be the problem. I must be the problem. Not quite sure, but maybe I'm the problem. So she makes a proposal. Let's help God. God seems to need a little help here. Things are not happening. 10 years have passed. God promised something. Maybe God wants some help. Maybe he needs our help. Isn't this logical? You know, there's this saying that some people attribute to being in the Bible, but it's not. And this saying is, God helps those who help themselves. So maybe this is what Sarah thought. God helps those who help themselves. Let's help God out. Let's help ourselves out. Let's help ourselves so that God can help us. Or whatever. What's that saying go? God helps those who help themselves. Yes. Well, hopefully by the end of this morning you realize that that is an unbiblical saying. The result of that has left some long-term, what should we say, consequences in the Middle East today. This is actually a very historical point that we're touching this morning. Okay, so let's help God along. We're getting desperate. We're getting especially impatient. God needs some help. So Sarah did something that is, let's face it, is absolutely going against her own very nature. She's doing something that goes against the nature of every wife. She says, Abraham, you need another woman. Isn't that going totally against the nature of every wife? Absolutely. But what we have to understand is this. In that time period in history, Sarah has a maid, or even the Bible says a slave. Her name is Hagar. She's from Egypt. She's an Egyptian slave. Hagar is Sarah's possession. She belongs to Sarah. Actually, she doesn't belong to Abraham. She belongs to Sarah. She is Sarah's possession, and Sarah can do with her whatever she likes. There's also this thought that, okay, since she belongs to me, if she has a child, that child also belongs to me. It's my child. So she proposes, Abraham, take my slave as a wife, have a child through her, but that child is mine. And Sarah, being a dutiful husband, Abraham, being a dutiful husband, complies. Things aren't happening. Okay. So Sarah gives Hagar to Abraham as a wife. Although you have to understand this, yes, she's a wife, but she's not a wife on the same level as Sarah. She is still Sarah's property. I know we don't like that saying, but that was the time frame then, at that time. So basically, Hagar becomes a surrogate mother. She's a surrogate mother for Sarah. Just a point here. The Bible never encourages multiple wives. Does it happen? Yes, it happens. But it's never encouraged that a man takes more than one wife. In fact, in Deuteronomy, it makes a statement that it shouldn't happen, should not take multiple wives, especially the kings of Israel should not take multiple wives. So this happened. Hagar becomes pregnant, and she kind of forgets that she's still Sarah's servant, and she gets an attitude. See, you can't have children, and I can. And of course, Sarah doesn't take very kindly to this. And Sarah gives her a really hard time. And Hagar runs away. Hagar runs away. Let's read Genesis chapter 16. I believe we have at least 1 to 6. Let's go to those verses. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said to Abram, "Behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." And Abraham listened to the voice of Sarai. Verse 3. So after Abram had lived 10 years in Canaan, Sarai took Hagar and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. Now, that's interesting. Verse 4. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. This is Hagar looking with contempt on Sarah. And Sarah said to Abraham, "May the wrong to me be on you, Abraham. You're at fault. I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me." Now, if you can figure this out, please tell me. It's Abraham's fault. Right?
Right.
Okay. Not quite sure who proposed this in the first place, but anyway, Abraham, it's your fault. Okay, let's go on. But Abraham said to Sarah, "Behold, your servant," notice he says your servant, it's still Sarah's possession, "your servant is in your power, do to her as you please." Then Sarah dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. Hagar ran away. Okay, do we have some more verses? Starting in verse 7 or 8. Here we go. The angel of the Lord. So here's, okay, this is, I don't know about to you, but this is a little bit of a puzzle to me. Okay, here's Hagar, runs away. Who's Hagar? She's just a slave. She's on all that. She's an Egyptian slave. She doesn't count, right? Okay. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" She said, "I'm fleeing from my mistress Sarai." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her." Then, let's keep going. Verse 10. The angel of the Lord also said to her, "I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude. Behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction. He shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen." So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are a God of seeing." For she said, "Truly here I have seen him who looks after me." Therefore the well is called Beer Lahairoi. It lies between Kadesh and Bered. Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son whom Hagar bore Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Okay, I don't know if you've got a problem with this or not. Maybe you don't. But, okay, God has been dealing and appearing to Abraham. Then along comes this slave who's got no rights. And she's put in a position. Actually, she's a victim, isn't she? Yes. She's a victim. She didn't choose to be Abraham's wife. She didn't have a choice in the matter whatsoever. She didn't have a choice of whether or not to bear this child or not. It's not her choice. She's a victim. So she runs away. But the angel of the Lord comes to her. Who is she? She's nobody. But the angel of the Lord still comes to her. Not only does he come to her, on one hand, he tells her, "Go back, change your attitude. Go back to Sarah, but you got to change your attitude. Not only that, she says, you will have a son. Not only that, but this angel of the Lord says, God will bless your son. Make him a multitude. God's mind is a little different than ours, I think. God's a lot bigger than we are. Anyway, let's keep going. Okay, so just kind of a side issue here. Sarah's proposal to help God has already... See, we got these two things going on here, and this is kind of a tension in this whole narrative. On the one hand, Sarah's proposed something. Let's help God. So it starts happening, and what happens? Contention results. Her helping God has actually given her more problems. On the other side of this tension is, here's the victim. Angel of the Lord hears, sees, to the point that she gives God a name. God sees. How about that? Hagar has given God a name, another name. Among all the other names, not that there's multiple gods, no. This God, who is the God Most High, is of so many aspects, and Hagar gets to experience God in this aspect that God sees, God hears me, God cares for me. So, God has promised he would bless Ishmael. He spoke to her, encouraged her, return. But he also said, you're going to have a troublesome son. He's going to be like a wild donkey. Have any of you ever tried to ride a tame donkey? Yes. It can be challenging. I remember as a kid, I don't know if they still do this or not, but there was these, yesterday I took some kids to Sky Zone. It's a trampoline place, right? All kinds of fun games and activities. Well, I remember as a kid, there was this, I don't know what you call it, club organization, whatever. They would hire out donkeys. And what you do, you play baseball sitting on a donkey. It's kind of like polo, except on a donkey, right? Well, it's hilarious because these donkeys have a mind of their own. They'll go where they want to go, not where you want them to go. So you can, it's more of a hilarious thing. You don't really accomplish much, but do they still do that today? I don't know. Heard anyway, something unique. Now we go to climb walls and we do all kinds of other things. But he's going to be a troublesome child. He's going to be not a donkey, but a wild donkey. Of course, King James is a more stronger term. The wild ass of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. If you didn't know, Ishmael did have 12 sons who became 12 princes. He was extremely prolific, and to this day, his descendants are the Arabs. Ishmael's descendants are the Arabs. As we'll see, eventually Sarah does have a son. His name is Isaac. Isaac's descendants are the Israelites, and a few others too. But basically, Ishmael was blessed with multitudes of descendants. But what kind of descendants are they? They are wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone's, and everyone's hand against him. So what do we have today? Well, if you read the news, even the Arabs can't get along with themselves. You've got the Sunnis, you've got the Shias. These are both two lines of, I know it's a religion from Islam, but basically most of the Arabs are Islamic, but they can't get along. The Sunnis say, we are the true, genuine line from the Prophet Muhammad. The Shia says, no, we are the true line from Muhammad. You got two no's against each other clashing. So what's happening in Iraq today? The Sunnis, who happen to be a minority in that country, are rising up against the Shias who are in power. And then you have the rest of the Arab countries lining up either behind the Sunnis or behind the Shias. What will be the outcome? God knows, I don't. But that's what has happened. And that's what we see today. But in spite of that, as far as numbers are concerned, aren't they blessed? You say, my question is, God, why did you bless him? We wouldn't have so many problems today if you had done that. But I'm not God, right? Aren't you glad? God's much bigger than we are. Much bigger. Well, we want to kind of complete this picture with Hagar and Ishmael. So we have to go a little bit further. Ishmael is born. Then, at chapter 17, it's like, okay, chapter 16 ends. Abraham was 86 years old. The very next verse is chapter 17, when Abraham was 99 years old. All of a sudden, we got, what, 14 years, 13 years of nothing except Ishmael growing up. But in chapter 17, Abram was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to him again. And verse 4 begins, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. So far, Abraham's, sure, no problem. I see it. See, I got Ishmael. Now let's go on. Do we have another verse? Verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. So far, no problem. Ishmael. And I will give to you and to your offspring after the land of your sojourning, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. No problem. I'm on board. I've got Ishmael. Next. God said, oh, we got to jump a verse here. We just jumped a verse here, but let me come back here. Verse 15, maybe not have here. I'll maybe read it to you. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah. I will bless her. Moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. It's not a matter of a son, her having a son through someone else. No, she herself will have a son. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old and shall Sarah, who's 90 years old, bear a child? You got to be kidding me, God. And Abraham laughed at God. Then Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Oh, that Ishmael, my son Ishmael, would live before you. God said, no. God said, no. Verse 19. But Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. What happens here in chapter 17? God reaffirms the covenant he made with Abraham and makes it more specific. Up to this point, God never said to Abraham, your wife Sarah will bear a son. He just said, you will have a son. But now he says, no, the covenant I will make with you is with you and the son of Sarah, not the son of any one other woman. And Abraham's feeling is, well, I've got Ishmael. What more do I need? God says, no. I don't need those people who say God helps those who help themselves. I don't need your help. I will do it. And I will do it my way. And in my time. As for Ishmael, verse 20, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and he will and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall be a father of 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. Do we have verse 21? Okay, verse 21 says, but I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. The covenant is with Isaac. Abraham would be the father of many nations, but the covenant would be with Isaac. Ishmael, what about him? Yes, I will bless him. But my covenant is with Isaac. When Abraham says, oh, that Ishmael might live before you, doesn't this show Abraham's struggle? God, I did something for you. I produced a son. I produced an heir. God says, sorry, that's not the one. Okay, moving quickly ahead, let me just summarize this way. Sarah does have a son. A year later, his name is Isaac. When Isaac is weaned, approximately around 3 years of age, we don't know exactly, apparently Ishmael starts laughing, making fun of Isaac. And Sarah sees this. And Sarah says to Abraham this famous line, cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman will not inherit with my son Isaac. This is what she said. And Abraham is grieved deeply. Why? Because he loves Ishmael. He's loved him for 17 years. And God says to Abraham, this time, listen to your wife. She's right. Ishmael will not. The one that you produced to help God, I'm sorry, that's not the one. That's not the one. You have to give him up. Not only do you have to give him up, you have to send him away. So Abraham sends Ishmael and Hagar away. They're sent out. Hagar seems to forget that God had made a promise about Ishmael, and she thinks, well, Ishmael's going to die. I'm going to leave him there. I don't want to watch him die, so I'm going to put him there under that shrub. I don't know how she put a 17-year-old boy under a shrub, but anyway, she did it. Then she ran away, and the angel of the Lord appears to her again. Again, the angel appears to her and tells her, no, your son will have 12, he will be the head of 12 princes. God comes again and cares for Hagar and for Ishmael. But Isaac is the one whom God has chosen. I'd like to just conclude with these few points. God made a promise to Abraham. When God promises, he fulfills his promise. God knows what he's doing. And God knows when to do it as well. We get impatient. We feel, I've got to do something to help God out. But maybe our help is a frustration. Maybe our help is a frustration. Now, when you hear this morning, I hope that you would apply it to yourself, not to anybody else. Don't start pointing your fingers at others. Oh, that's just what you did there. That's just like Ishmael. That's a work of the flesh. No, learn to apply things to yourself, not to other people. If you don't apply it to yourself, then you haven't heard anything this morning. Learn to hear things, to receive things from God for yourself. And in spite of all our messing up, even Abram's messing up, God's heart is still really big. Go figure. God's heart is big. He cares about everybody. The last song that we sang before I came up, there's some lines in that song. Actually, thank you, Josh, for leaving it here. Quite a few stanzas here. You bring hope to the hopeless. You bring light to those in darkness. You bring death to life. Right? You give peace to the restless. You give joy to the homes that are broken. You open the door for me. Let's face it, none of us are Jews, right? We're all Gentiles, but God opened the door for us, right? You fill those who are empty. You rescue those in the valley. You calm our souls. You find me in my weakness. You heal the wounds of heartache. This is our God, reaching out to us, those who are hopeless, those who are helpless. This is our God, reaching out. Let's pray. Before we pray, I just want to mention, we're going to have the Lord's table after this, so maybe the band can come up. Lord, how we thank you. Amen. You're a God of promise. Amen. And you're a God who fulfills what you promise. You made a covenant with Abraham. You fulfilled your covenant. Lord, grant us a heart to learn to wait on you. You're not a God who is always in a rush, but you're a God who will fulfill what you have promised. Amen. Lord, grant us the faith to believe this. Grant us the patience to wait. Yes. Grant us the hope to look forward. Yeah. Grant us the peace to abide in you. Yeah. Lord, we love you. Amen. And we love your promises. We love your covenant. Amen. That you have made. Amen. Thank you, Lord, we can believe in you.